Taste your way through Napa Valley, California with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Book this exclusive trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 646-780-8383.
Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. So if you thought about investing in companies geared toward baby boomers or millennials, which would you choose? The Journal's Heard on the Street team has some answers. We'll check in with them in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. If your wallet could smile, it might be because in the first quarter of 2019, American households more than made back their losses from last year's stock market turbulence. The Federal Reserve says that household net worth grew 4.5% in the first quarter to $108.6 trillion. That offsets a 3.7% decline in the fourth quarter of 2018. That was the largest quarterly gain since the fourth quarter of 2004. Also, the household savings rate grew to 6.7% of disposable personal income, up from 6.5% in the first quarter. The Fed says much of that extra cash on hand comes from a 12.4% increase in the value of household holdings of corporate stocks. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged 3.82% for the week of May 30th. That's down from 3.99% and its sixth straight weekly decline. It's also the lowest level since September 2017. Also, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged 3.28%. That's down from 3.46%. And the Labor Department says the U.S. workers' efficiency, and that's essentially the output of goods and services for each hour on the job, improved by 2.4% in the first quarter as compared to a year earlier. That's the best rate in nearly a decade. But that pace could be difficult to maintain, with economic growth expected to slow down later on this year. The Journal's economic team says productivity improvements would be a key ingredient for the U.S. to maintain a 3% growth rate. That's a hallmark goal of the Trump administration. But in the current economic expansion, workers have been unable to sustain consistent productivity increases. That's one reason why the historically long stretch of growth has also been sluggish, advancing slightly better than 2% annually.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they've created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. Eno catches over-tipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Call it a generation gap, or maybe with age comes wisdom, but when we put millennials and baby boomers side by side, is there a difference in how investors should approach companies that reach consumers in each age group? Well, the Journal's Heard on the Street team wanted to know, and columnist Mike Bird is here with the details. So, Mike, millennials generally were born between 1981 and 1996. Baby boomers were born in the mid-1940s. Your team set up two portfolios. Can you give me an idea of what kinds of stocks are in each group?
So the stocks are a pretty big mix across. We wanted to get a variety of different equity market sectors involved. The main difference between the stocks, I think, to put it clearly, is that the boomer stocks are designed to reflect the priorities of a generation that's either retired or coming into retirement and the sort of things they'll need in the years to come. There's a lot of healthcare-related stocks, elderly care-related stocks, also some real estate plays. Against the millennials, who are a generation really now coming into their own, the eldest millennials, as you mentioned, are coming into their very early 40s. They're approaching sort of peak spending power. They'll hit that within the next 10 years or so. And so a lot of those companies reflect not just the millennial priorities around things like clean tech, but also things that will likely benefit from their increased spending power over the next 10 years.
And just a footnote, by millennials, we do not mean people born after 1996, which is Generation Z.
Absolutely.
Talking about millennials here. You mentioned in the baby boomers portfolio, there's a lot of healthcare, a lot of pharmaceuticals, and that makes a lot of sense. That's not going away anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. But it is a new thing in many ways. So a lot of the companies you see launching for biotech, for example, they're addressing concerns, health concerns that, to be frank, 10 or 20 years ago might have been a death sentence for a lot of people. They're now going to be the source of considerable healthcare spending as people pursue a higher quality of life in their sort of sunset years. And that's going to be a huge investing theme that simply didn't exist if you go back a decade or two.
And investors who follow the spending habits of millennials need to be mindful of how the financial crisis really added kind of a variable to all this. It delayed things a lot for millennials.
Absolutely. I mean, you see this a lot with major financial crises. You see it actually with the millennials' grandparents' generation for the most part. You're talking about people who grew up during the Great Depression. You see long-term lower earnings, things like delayed household formation, so people don't settle down for as long because they don't have the money. You see a lot of that. So I think what you might see is fairly quick shift, where the millennials are a very large generation. They're the biggest generation in American history. And you're going to see a fairly quick shift with economic conditions now somewhat stronger than they have been in a number of years, very low unemployment, where you start to see millennial priorities really come to the fore quite quickly. And we've seen that with some of the companies that have listed relatively recently.
And the challenge for investors who are trying to capitalize on companies in both these portfolios is measuring how set in their ways these age groups are with the brands they like.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's a major thing. I mean, it may well turn out to be that, you know, so there are companies doing things. I think we're going to talk about artificial meat. There's a play there that is extremely expensive for investors. You know, the earnings aren't there yet. And it's based on the presumption of where consumer demand is going to go, that it's going to shift, that the ethical desires of the younger generations.
So it's a company called Beyond Meat, and it listed in May.
Absolutely. It listed in May. It's very heavily priced now. It's fascinating because it's now one of the most shorted companies in the US. The cost of shorting it is extremely high, which suggests there's really high demand to short it. So there's this huge disagreement between investors of whether this thing represents, you know, the future of how people eat or not. There are some people who are evangelists for it, saying it tastes almost like meat. You know, this is going to be a huge wave of the future type thing. And some people are just massively skeptical. And I think that gets right to the middle of where this generational divide is in terms of the attitude of investors.
And more broadly, millennials and younger people tend to be more willing to sample different brands and see what they like. And people in the older generation tend to know what they like, and it's more difficult for them, or they're less likely to stray.
I think that's it. I mean, you see that with something like with social media, actually. So interestingly, people might not expect this, but we put Facebook in the portfolio for baby boomers. And the reason that we did that is because it's the most popular social media among older people. But also, older people are far less fickle in that sense. They'll stay on Facebook. You know, this is one of the reasons that Facebook is very unlikely for them to have a MySpace-type future. It's not going to collapse. Because boomers tend to just use Facebook. They don't use other social media outlets, so they're not going to shift to anything else anytime soon. Millennials are much more fickle, you know, and this is probably just a product of being younger, but they're much more likely to shift into something they don't like. They're not going to be loyal to the brand.
And that shifting makes the stocks in their portfolio, it's not cheap to follow millennials in terms of investing.
It is not cheap at all. So we do these things on something like a price-to-sales ratio, and the price-to-sales ratio of the millennial portfolio is something like 24 times. It's more like 3 or 4 times for the boomer portfolio. It's essentially reflecting that these companies are priced for what people expect them to do in the future, not what they're doing now. So they could be hugely successful, but you're also running significant risk that, you know, some of these companies in 20 years probably won't have made it. I expect all of the stocks in the boomer portfolio will be here in at least 10 years. They might not be the most profitable stocks in the world, but they'll still be here. Whereas in the millennial portfolio, there's some that you would expect a couple maybe to go to the wall completely.
So how long have you been tracking the stocks in each portfolio? And just in a broad sense, how are they doing?
Well, interestingly, we can't measure it that well because two of the stocks in the millennial portfolio, which is Beyond Meat and Uber, because they've only recently listed, you know, you can't get long-term data on those things. However, I would say in the past few years, the stocks in the millennial portfolio generally have outperformed the ones in the boomer portfolio. But what happens when there's a downturn in the stock market is the stocks in the millennial portfolio tend to fall very, very fast. They're growth stocks. They're priced based on, you know, not perfection, but strong future economic growth. Let's say that. If it looks like that's not going to be the case, these things are going to go down and they're going to go quickly down. Whereas you look at the stocks in the boomer portfolio, something like a healthcare stock, to take another example, people are going to need healthcare. They need healthcare if there's a recession. There might not be quite as much demand for it, but these are staple things that people will require, not things that they might like. You know, you're not going to need an artificial beef burger. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a hospital bed.
All right. You can check out all the details in Mike Bird's column on WSJ.com and the WSJ app in the Heard on the Street section of the site. And Mike is good enough to join us here in our studio. Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.